Welcome to Integration Excellence, the podcast around enterprise integration and interface management. We explore topics related to integration in the SAP world and beyond. My name is Adam Kivon. I'm an SAP integration expert, book author, trainer, and founder of White Paper Interface Design. Enjoy. Yeah, welcome to Integration Excellence, another episode with Sebastian Meyer. Welcome, Sebastian.
Hello, Adam.
Yeah, we have a new format now. I announced this last time when I was speaking about integration strategy. But this time I was promising, you know, there will be some news. And the first news is we have Sebastian here. Sebastian is now transforming into a permanent guest, which means he's going to be the co-host with me now. So in, I would say, most of the cases, we will be the two of us speaking about our favorite topic, enterprise integration, right?
Yes.
And it's a, it's a pleasure and honor to have you here, Sebastian. This is really great.
Thanks for having
Especially,
me.
Especially, yeah, you are, you know, enriching this podcast because it was a bit, you know, some parts were general, some parts were very SAP-centric, SAP-oriented, because this is, you know, my personal home turf. But you bring now all the Microsoft world also into this this podcast, which is great. Well, and as well as knowing as well the SAP world. Yeah? So technically, you could do this by yourself, covering both worlds.
Yeah.
But I think it's good to have you here and that we speak, the two of us, and bring some interaction into this. So this is really great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thanks again for having me. And yeah, let's kick it off. Huh?
Yes, yes. So we'll have to change the logo, actually. So all this, you know, static parts that have been, you know, very, very centered towards my picture are going to be renewed now. We will work on this. Hopefully when this goes live, it's already there. And then
that's okay.
What is speaking about? We will definitely do that. And then we thought, in the previous discussions we had, we thought, why not also revamping the format a little bit, not with regards to the channels, everything will remain as it is, but with the structure. So we thought it could be good to have always a kind of, you know, three areas, three pillars we are going through. One is a catch-up, the catch-up between the two of us. So what did we work on? What did we do? What's going on in our heads right now? What's, you know, maybe stressing us or you know, hyping us at the moment, what's quite maybe not only in the business but also personally, a kind of, you know, catching up the two of us. Then some product news, from both the SAP world, the Microsoft world, maybe even beyond, let's see. And then our deep dive topic, which is typically focusing also and part of the title of the podcast episode, which is event-driven integration today. So again, because this is a very important topic for many customers, we will touch base on event-driven integration aspects and also what kind of, you know, solutions exists out there. So let's start with catch up. So the biggest news for sure for me is that I have Sebastian here. But as well, you know, personally, we've been going through some areas. So last week we had our Wintegration community call. Wintegration.com is our own platform where we are, you know, having our customers and, you know, prospective customers for our Wint solutions. And we were speaking about the integration cockpit, the latest developments, the latest, you know, features. And we've been also recording this, which was quite nice. And what is brand new as an information today is that we are starting the ISO 27001 certification. You're laughing. No, you've been going through this already with your company, Quibic, right?
Yes.
We are going through this now with the product, with the integration cockpit, because more and more customers are asking for this. We go through, you know, security assessments with them, and I think a certification will simplify things, hopefully. At
least. There are a lot of forms to fill out in the near future.
Yeah, but also I think it's good to formalize some of the processes that are maybe already existing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, have a clear path how this should be structured and going through.
Makes sense. So
why not?
An exciting journey for your company.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Yeah. Let's see how quick we are.
Yeah.
And then project-wise, I've been deep diving a bit more, or we've been deep diving a bit more into topics around B2B integration on Integration Suite, especially using TPM, but also using the pipeline concept for PO migration, also for A2A topics. So there have been some, I wouldn't say epiphanies, but some parts that have been not that straightforward or I was expecting a little bit more maturity already in the area of TPM, but it's fine. I mean, it's still growing. It's still ongoing. The adoption is high and people are going through this. But I can also see that there are customers out there that, decide not to use TPM and use EDI, EDIFACT, whatever integration, along with the standard capabilities of cloud integration.
So what was the major pain point there when you are talking about some not so mature?
I think monitoring wise it was a bit strange. We've been tweaking a little bit as well about identifying headers and finding out how things later appear in the specific new monitors. I think some aspects are simply okay as they are. But, as this is the new flagship product and the anticipated, go-to version of the solution for the entire industry, I cannot really say that this is missing or that is missing. Mm-hmm. We all know that, things like X400 are still missing. Mm-hmm. But there are, some combinations, like especially when it comes to PO migration, which is a big topic for many customers, is that, for example, you cannot reuse the mappings as they were before along with your XSDs. You have to use the XSDs which are generated in the integration advisor, the message implementation guidelines, and they are different than the ones of PO. But there is a good reason for that, because they come from don't come from SAP, they come from GFAC or something. It's another organization where SAP has licensed the format. But and it's a little bit different. But I think SAP already promised to have a PO XSD support as well in the near future, will again simplify it a little bit. So step by step, we are getting there to make the transition smoother. It's probably good to wait as long as you can with the migration, but there will be a point in time where you are forced to, and then you will have some time pressure as well, I guess.
Interesting. But you said I think it's a problem in general with integration platforms, and you also address it with your integration cockpit, so monitoring. You always have a black box and you don't know exactly what happens there. And I got your point with this, with your painful monitoring experience.
I mean, there's always a challenge, right? The more you standardize and the more you use something that is existing already, the less you understand how it works. And then it's more working like a black box. Mm-hmm. And if it works as it should, you don't question that. But if things are not working, and then you have to deep dive and then you have to dismantle everything, then sometimes it gets more painful than starting it from the bottom yourself.
That's correct.
But it's fine. It's nevertheless, it's a good product. I didn't say anything bad. So that's about my catch up. Maybe one personal thing. I come back from a long weekend with my wife without kids. So I'm I should be super relaxed, but super it's already relaxed. The end of the day. So, there have been some things to work on already. But yeah, I still have some good memories about the long weekend.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, maybe I can catch up here. So I'm not that relaxed because last 2 weeks are very stressful with go live on a customer. So there are two interfaces which are very important. So yeah, so therefore I'm not that relaxed. So it's more stressful on this time, but that's life. Mm. So there are some weeks in the year where that happens. So and yeah, now we have this week here. But but next week it's much more relaxed because I will traveling to Seattle to the Microsoft campus. Yeah, it's the yearly MVP summit. So as you might know, last year I was rewarded as an MVP from Microsoft. So it's a Microsoft Most Valuable Professional, and you will be rewarded for community work. And yeah. This is exactly what happens. And then all the MVPs from all over the world will be invited by Microsoft.
That's really
to
cool.
Come to the campus. Yeah. Talk to the product team, meet all the other MVP, build the community. So this is what happens next week. On Friday, I will, go
That's
by
amazing.
Plane to Seattle.
That's amazing. So you're like an ambassador. You're traveling to California. No, Seattle is Washington. Nice. So that's really, I think so. Huh?
Yeah.
Really
cool. It's Washington.
Yeah. I think Washington, state is Washington.
Washington. Correct.
Cool.
That's what I'm doing next time. So, yeah.
There will be excited. So how many people will be there?
There are around 1,000 MVPs on site. And around the globe, there are, I guess, around 4,000 MVPs, and 1,000 MVPs will be in Seattle. So, yeah.
An amazing opportunity. Wow.
You need to be fast to get a seat in Seattle. So, So, and it's a remote and an on-site event. Mm-hmm. And you can also attend remotely if you want. But yeah, for me, it's the first time visiting the Microsoft campus. So super excited about that. I guess
next time you will be sharing some more details about
this. Yeah, absolutely. You can in the next episode, I guess we can talk about the half an hour about MVP.
great.
And the journey.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great. What else? Well, we will be, physically meeting again is the week after, right? So you are traveling a lot.
Absolutely. So my wife is not that. She doesn't like it so much, but it's okay. It's for 2 weeks now. So, but yeah, then we are in Wiesbaden for the German SAP user group.
Yes, the DSAG Technologietage, Technology Days.
Technology Days, So
kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2nd and 3rd of April.
Yes.
And even the 4th is a possible extension.
It's the technology exchange. So it's more hands-on sessions and
exactly.
Deep dives in some technology areas and so on. But it's also very interesting. So for people who want
the product news.
Have hands-on, it's very good,
Nice. So we will meet there. We will be joining for sure all the integration tracks, I guess, and others maybe
I will also have a talk there together with Martin. I guess Martin was in the last episode here, or was it the
one before? Yes,
one before.
Martin
Pankratz, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, together with Martin Pankratz, and we want to talk about our community project. So this is the Edge Integration Cell Accelerator on Azure. So that means, so we already talked before about the topic when you want to have the Edge Integration Cell running on your own managed Kubernetes or on your own managed infrastructure, then you have this big wall, which is Kubernetes. You need to manage Kubernetes, and not everyone want to do this. And our idea with this accelerator was to help people, to help admins or operators to get it faster running. So what our accelerator does is it installs Azure Kubernetes services on Azure so that you do not have to do it manually. And then you can combine, or then you need to set up the AKS on your BTP platform to connect from your SAP integration suite into this. But what we want to do is that the part on Azure creating the Kubernetes cluster is made for you automatically. Our target is one click deployment, but now we are not there, but we are working on it. And yeah, if there's someone who wants to help there, please do it. We can provide the link at the end of the show or in the show notes.
Definitely.
So, and and this is what we are talking about at the DSAG Technology Days.
Cool. Yeah. Highly recommended. It will be in the application integration track as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Application integration track. Yes. Yeah.
Cool. Nice. Very good. Yeah. Happy to see that. Yeah. So I think that's it. We should have maybe a funny sound that, you know, marks the end of this chapter and then goes to the next chapter. Maybe we'll find something. So let's move on to the product news. And we have no experience in this yet, but the good thing is this time, as we speak about event-driven integration, I found some SAP cloud integration-related news, very recent ones, that are fitting very well into this topic. So it's not really event-driven in terms of that a new broker feature is out there or that the broker support is out there. But when we speak about event-driven integration, we also speak about asynchronous communication. We speak about queuing, persisting messages to allow physical decoupling of information flows, right? And what came across recently, or it's not even deployed everywhere, is the exactly once and order support. And it comes in two flavors, which is quite interesting. One is for the XI adapter, in the past you had two options, basically, sync and async, best effort or exactly once, or at least once in some cases. And now exactly once and order came into play as well with an update of the XI adapter. So you can choose you don't have to really pick what it is, but you can choose like managed by integration flow. And then dynamically you can detect whether, the incoming call is exactly once in order along with a queue or even the other way around. Sending messages through the XI adapter as well, putting a queue name and then putting exactly once in order as a quality of service. That is one thing. That is not perfectly working yet. We had to open a call to SAP because the messages sometimes remain, or very often remain, in processing status and are not completed. So that's I think a small thing, but from the messaging itself it works well. That's cool. And another thing that is very recent is the JMS adapter version 1.4 has a new access type called exclusive. So that means that messages can be processed really in the order as they were entered into the JMS queue. Like a first in first out principle as we need it, for proper exactly once in order handling. So that's good news from the SAP world. There are for sure other news as well, but those were the ones that were most interesting for me, at least for now.
Sounds very good, and sounds very helpful. Exactly, order and once mechanism here. I guess on PIPO it was present all the time, right?
Yes. So the QRFC queues in the ABAP stack, and as well as the the support for exactly once in order as a protocol in PO itself, PIPO, was always there, never questioned. And with all the pros and cons of using it, right?
But yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes it was a must to have it. Huh?
So, I know from many customers who asked for it when we are talking about capabilities of SAP Integration Suite, the first question from PIPO was, what is about exactly once in order?
We have
it on SAP Integration Suite, and then we no, not right now, but you can build it for your own. But now that's very good info that now SAP supports it out of the box.
Yeah.
But as I said, it needs to be on your tenant, right? So it needs to be rolled out. So you cannot use it from now on, right?
Yeah, you have to wait until your tenant has been deployed. So our Integration Suite tenant, which we are using internally, doesn't have it yet. Mm-hmm. We're on JMS version 1.3. This maybe just will take another weekend. We'll play around with it for sure.
That's cool. So maybe I can tell some news from Microsoft as well. So Microsoft is heavily investing in AI, but now AI, we let AI now here. The other topic is Microsoft is also heavy investing in the hybrid deployment model. So as you know from the Edge integration cell, which is the part you can run on-prem or in another cloud, Microsoft has a comparable offering, which is called Logic Apps Hybrid Deployment Model. And the foundation is like Edge Integration Cell. You need Kubernetes to run it. And then you on Azure, you can run it on Azure Kubernetes Services, which is the native Kubernetes implementation from Azure. And there are some new capabilities right now. So now we have the capabilities to have the RabbitMQ connector. So that means that on-prem, you can use RabbitMQ as a message broker or event broker or for messaging. Mm-hmm. And there's also now the support to call SAP RFC from the hybrid deployment model. Mm-hmm. Which is very cool thing, because there's from a technology perspective, there's something or it's very hard for Microsoft to keep it running, because the SAP modules, which are developed by SAP, the ENCO adapter, which is the opposite to the JCO adapter,
based on .NET, right?
It's running on .NET. It's running on .NET framework. Mm-hmm. And the technology base from the Kubernetes is .NET Core. So the foundation container runs .NET Core. And .NET Core is different to .NET framework. And Microsoft has to solve the problem to run .NET framework in .NET Core. Mm-hmm. So and now they solved it. And that's why SAP is now supported in the hybrid deployment model. So very good news. So now you can use it on premise to connect to your SAP system.
Yeah. So and again, a reminder to the latest episode on integration strategy. Yeah? There is not always a need to go through an SAP middleware if you want to speak to SAP systems, right? Yeah. So if your core platform is Logic Apps for your ESB, for your integration platform, IPaaS, whatever. Mm-hmm. It can make sense to talk directly to SAP backends and not going through an SAP middleware.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of doing it. Yeah. Because the technical capabilities are also there.
Yeah. So, because one customer, we thought about some things. So this is off topic here or maybe not. Because a plant from our customer was 2 days off of the internet. So, and there are some capabilities which are running in the cloud and they are not reachable for 2 days. And that let the customer rethink the integration strategy here. So, because it happens never before. And now we are searching for some, on-prem capabilities which are running fully disconnected from the cloud. Mm. But give you the full power of integration when you do not have internet connection. And there are not so many platforms that are running fully disconnected only on-prem. And there's one thing, and it's hard to find something.
But I think the those times are getting less and less frequent, I would say, hopefully. We have internet outages. But yeah, let's see if it's really the case in the future or not. I hope we will have a bit, continuous growing stability in that sense. Internet outages will be not the norm anymore.
Hopefully not normal.
Exactly. Good. Okay. Then let's close this the second chapter, product news, and let's go into our deep dive. Assuming, looking at the time, we are already at minute 25, which is probably because we took some time for the catch up and the new structure. We will not go through the topic super fast, but we cannot, discuss every component super extensively, right? I guess what is quite interesting to know is when we look at all the technologies and all the platforms that are available out there, right? And then having a kind of a listing or walkthrough, what is available from which area, at least the ones we know and the ones we think are also good. Maybe as an intro, what would you say makes you require event-based integration or event-driven integration? When would you, and that for me at least means you put a broker somehow in between, right?
I think that's the easy part of event-driven integration. Use an event broker and then you're good to go, but it's not that easy, right? So in my opinion, event-driven integration, I want to say event-driven organization. So I think it's very similar because when you want to implement event-driven integration, there you also need an organizational shift, because it makes no sense if you have one application which is event or integrated by events. So in my opinion, the whole business needs to be integrated with this event integration or event-based integration, because then it makes sense to have the whole enterprise, to the whole organization on this approach. Because otherwise, as you said, you have your event broker and one application is talking to the event broker and that's it. So it makes no sense. And therefore, I guess, for integration, you need the organizational level and also the technical level. And I guess the message broker is on the technical level. And there you on the SAP side, you have the event mesh, the advanced event mesh. On Azure, you can use Event Grid, you can use Event Hub, and so on. So this is only the technical part. But I guess more important is the organizational part to bring all the events from your organization together, so everyone is aware about what happens when this event is raised. And then you need some consuming logic, and then a new event is raised. And I guess this is a topic which is important for the enterprise architecture itself, when you're aligning your IT strategy, your business to events.
I also see it that way. I mean, it's probably has a similar impact, like, the thinking and the methodology in APIs, right? If you think your organization through in an API-oriented way, you API every application. And think everything in APIs. You avoid thinking everything into file exchanges, right? So we are beyond that for sure, hopefully. Most of the cases.
Not everywhere, but hopefully 80%.
yeah, yeah. But it was easy always to think of, oh, we exchanged this file and that file. There is a CSV and then there is an XML. You know, that we are exchanging files. So that was simple. And now we were thinking, like, okay, we think everything in APIs. So, you know, SOA was also helpful in a sense, at least for a time. Everything is service oriented. Everything is API'd and we can access everything from everywhere. And that now everything has to be event driven, right? And then, so at least my, okay, you know, my takeaway is not everything makes sense to be API'd and not everything is a candidate for event driven integration.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be very distinct in when you use what and be clear and you know, when it makes sense.
Absolutely.
But, I would believe, and I think you also agree, a big driver here is the level of reuse, right?
Yeah.
So whenever you have a scenario or also an API, but also an event, yeah, that can be reused from more than one application, yeah, because there can be events that are very dedicated to one specific receiver, and there will be always this one receiver and mm-hmm. nobody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe plus an archive or something, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe a data lake, I don't know. But only one application is going to be receiving this particular event or this particular message, or only one application will be consuming this API. Then we don't have to discuss it in that sense, you know, about, you know, standardizing, even going through a specific mechanism to make it, you know, very canonical or standardized. Yeah. But there are a lot of cases in the organization which have a good tendency of being reused a lot. Huh?
Yeah. Same for me. And what you say is, exactly what I see as well, because you can also over engineer something, like you said, if there's only one system which want to have the information or the event about something, then I guess it makes no sense to have it in an event driven manner, because it's the complexity is too high for only those use cases or for such a scenario. So
yeah.
But I guess there are some scenarios like, for example, e-commerce is, I think, a good example when it comes to event-driven integration.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have your web shop, you have your warehouse, you have logistics and so on. And this needs to be orchestrated in an event-driven manner. I guess this is a good approach for it, because when in your web shop there will be an order created, so we have an order created event, then something or someone in the warehouse needs to pick up the articles from the places or from the store where it is located, and then you have your articles collected. And while order created, you can also raise the payment processor can also start collecting the payment from the customer, for example. And and then you have some in parallel something when it comes to fulfill the order. So you need to wait, for example, for the payment created and also for the article collected. And when these events are happened, then the fulfillment can be done. And then you are ready. And so this is one approach. So it's not complete, but it's only an example how you can drive an event-driven integration.
And it's an ideal case for a publish and subscribe scenario, right? Where you have more than one consumer reacting on such an event. Be it a real event that contains all the data, a data event, or just a notification event where you might be also, you know, calling an API to enrich the data or to fetch the real data based on the notification itself. So there are many, cases where it definitely makes sense. Technology wise, there are a lot of, implementation variants out there in the
market. Absolutely, they have many options. So I guess to make another sentence here, or to make a relation, I guess you can use event driven when the sending system does not care about what happens next. Mm-hmm. I guess so mm-hmm. Like a shit happens approach. So it doesn't care, or it doesn't care me what happens next. So then it's good for maybe, yeah, maybe it's too simple, but I guess then you can think about an event-driven integration approach.
Yeah, and then, you know, the decoupling is you know, if the application thinks in a decoupled way, not expecting that you implement a specific, you know, structure and format, but you just, you know, publish something here, and then things can happen, right? Mm-hmm. Things can be built on that. It doesn't have to be a very tight integration with, you know, very formalized mm-hmm. Structures. That was also many times painful in the past, right?
And, absolutely, yeah. But there are also some downsides, I guess, when it comes to event-driven integration, because the complexity, yeah, and also monitoring is very hard. You mm. don't know in which state is your process right now, so you need to implement very good monitoring, and also for the business, you need to you need very good support on this.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, that reminds me of your colleague Raul should be joining us.
Yeah, I guess it's a good idea to have him.
Yeah. We should speak about the end-to-end monitor.
Absolutely,
which is a great tool also to, you know, you have to check in basically every message that is sent, but then you have the, you know, end-to-end view about the entire process, and then you can really see in which state is the exchange, and you don't have to guess and correlate and find and hear and search across all the tools.
Yeah,
that's really cool. We will do that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess it's a very good idea to have Raul in the show next time.
We'll
talk about it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe. Just you mentioned it already, but let me recap it again. So from the SAP world, when we speak about event-driven integration, let's say from the ABAP backend, we have a native event enablement, like for the BTP ABAP or for S4HANA. We have a native event integration to connect to a broker, which is an SAP broker like Event Mesh or Advanced Event Mesh. Mm-hmm. That can be also done through, for older systems at least, but also for S4HANA and more modern things. It can be also done through an add-on from Azapio. It can be also done through AIF as an integration layer within the ABAP backend. That is also part of S4 at least in the standard, but, you know, can be also added as an add-on to older SAP systems. And then the brokers. Actually, SAP doesn't own brokers, right? Mm-hmm. So they're always technology-wise, everything is based on Solace. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So Event Mesh, Advanced Event Mesh, even the JMS queue inside the cloud integration is based on Solace. Right?
Okay.
So, everything is technology-wise, it's really Solace. So, which is a really good broker, where it supports not only publish and subscribe, but also other scenarios, and does not only, you know, bring the capability of queuing messages with the topics and queues, but also, you know, cares about message formats, structures, and then provides you with a repository of the messages exchanged, along the platform, which mm-hmm. is really nice.
That
will be at least what I would say about
that's very interesting on the Azure side. So there's the whole Azure messaging family, which holds mm-hmm. all the event broker and message broker. And when it comes to messaging, so there's the service bus where you can have queues and also publish and subscribe with topics. But when it's specifically comes to events, there's the Event Grid and also the Event Hub. Event Grid is more for dedicated events. So like you said, for a notification or something else. And Event Hub is more for event streaming. If you have a series of events which are, needs to be ordered chronologically, then Event Hubs is a good fit. And I know there is a way where you can connect your BTP directly with a third party or as a third party provider in Event Grid. So you can connect your BTP with Azure over Event Grid, and then you can enable SAP to send events directly via this way to Azure. If you have both platforms, for example, if you have Integration Suite and you have also some workloads in Azure, then you can connect these two worlds with Event Grid, for example. Yeah. And I guess when it comes to event series on SAP, there's much more Apache Kafka approach or what does SAP use to have such capability?
I think then you go into Datasphere quickly. I'm not really because, you know, yeah. This would be my take on this, I would say. And Kafka support along with this as well, you know, because many customers come already with Kafka requirements or have chosen Kafka as their core broker, let's say, which also allows you to do publish and subscribe, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then, you know, there is native Kafka support for Datasphere, also with cloud integration, you can connect, publish and consume from Kafka topics. Of course, you have to consider how, and you know, there are some specifics are not met. Yeah, like the specific Afro format of Kafka is not enabled yet. It's on the roadmap. But yeah, it's to be considered when to use Kafka in which context. But it's the reality, and for sure, and also I know Azure has a coexistence and you know capabilities to integrate with Kafka. Also from Event Grid, right?
Event Hub,
From Event Hub,
you can use the Kafka protocol to connect to Event Hub. So you do not have to change your clients, for example. So if you already have a Kafka client running, then you can connect directly to Event Hub without rewriting your clients. So that's also possible because Event Hub is 100% compatible to the Kafka protocol.
That's so good. That's also very important.
Yeah. So this, it's a very nice way to migrate, for example, Kafka to Azure Event Hubs. So, and as you know, the wording is a little bit different between Event Hub and Kafka, but it's very similar. But it's also the same problem we have with SAP and Microsoft, the wording. They mean the same, but completely different names in most cases.
The terminology is not completely unified. Nevertheless, there are so many parallels when you compare the two platforms, right?
Absolutely.
You think that they come from a similar legacy, though they are not, right? But they are kind of on a good path of coexistence. And if you compare it with others, like maybe MuleSoft or Boomi, it looks a bit different.
Things
are not so, you know, at the same, same level.
That's correct, So as you said, BizTalk server, which is the previous version of integration platform from Microsoft, and PIPO was very similar. So everything was XML and it exactly the same way how it, not exactly the same way, but very similar way how it is processed inside of the server. And now, you're absolutely correct. Integration Suite and also Azure Integration Services are very similar in how they works.
Yeah. And you know, Udo Palzer, the product manager of SAP for Integration Suite or integration topics in general, he was mentioning that, you know, the number one integration platform, I don't know when it was, I think it was 20, 19 on the Sapphire or something like that. He said number one when it comes to installations worldwide is BizTalk Server.
Okay.
And followed by SAP PO number two.
Oh, okay.
Worldwide adoption in the market. So whenever you have like IBM WebSphere, TIBCO, you know, web methods or whatever you might be using, those are the two biggest, you know, implementations.
Okay, that's very interesting. So, maybe we will see some installations after 2030.
that's
end of the life. So I guess both platforms are end of life 27 with the extended support to 2030, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then, let's see what happens then.
I don't see them disappearing completely by then.
So. Yeah, same for me.
Cool. What else do we have to mention when it comes to brokers?
I have something special. As I talked about the customer, and we are searching for on-prem variant for integration. We also had to keep in mind, or we also watched out for some frameworks or some possibilities to maybe reuse SQL Server as a message broker. And we found out that there is a framework. It's called Mass Transit. We can also make a link in the show notes, which is an abstraction layer in .NET. And with Mass Transit, you can use SQL Server as a message broker. So it feels like it is a message broker. As you know, SQL Server is a database system, so it's not a message broker. But with Mass Transit, it feels like a message broker. So you can use it like a message broker. And the big advantage here is that the customer is a huge SQL Server customer already. So there's a infrastructure or a mature infrastructure based on SQL Server. And they do not need to implement a new infrastructure component like RabbitMQ or something else. So, so we can reuse the SQL Server as a message broker in these cases. And there are some advantages because the operations team knows SQL Server from from A to Z. And with RabbitMQ, they need to learn a new technology. So it's like the same thing with Kubernetes. When you want to run Edge Integration Cell or hybrid deployment model, your operations team needs to know how Kubernetes works in an administrative manner and also in a runtime manner. So and therefore Mass Transit is absolutely cool for such a scenario.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, adding any broker to the quotation of integration layer adds also, you know, additional responsibilities, additional places where you need to monitor, authenticate, you know, secure, manage everything. So it's not a pitch to avoid and reduce the amount of components. I think there is a good reason for having this, but I would believe there is a good reason to avoid having everything.
Absolutely.
Try to focus on the needed parts, and not to have at least more than two components in the integration layer doing the same thing.
Absolutely agree on that. So, and to be fair, we do not have any experience right now what it means when it comes to production environment. So right now we are in a proof of concept, but for now it looks good to use it like this way. And you can, that's the crazy thing here. You can use queuing and also pub/sub mechanisms on the Mass Transit with SQL Server. So this is cool. And I guess there's another database system supported, which is PostgreSQL.
Which is all very, very popular meanwhile.
Yeah, absolutely. So one open source system and one closed system from Microsoft. You need to license.
Nice. And Mass Transit, is it open source as well, or does it come as a?
I guess Mass Transit is open source. I'm not sure, but I guess it's open source. It's a one-man show, I want to say, who implemented it. And Mass Transit itself is a framework to abstract a message broker. So you implement against the interface from Mass Transit, and then in Mass Transit you can configure, now use RabbitMQ, or you can use Service Bus, or you can use Kafka, for example. So it's abstraction layer for messaging.
Good. Yeah. Let me look at our list. I think we covered most of the things. No, yeah. Not everything what we wanted to speak about. We also mentioned RabbitMQ as a very popular broker as well. Also with, you know, Microsoft having support for RabbitMQ. You have the option to connect with cloud integration to RabbitMQ, right? Meanwhile, there are standard adapters. We've been building our own adapter in the beginning when there was no RabbitMQ support yet. But now it became kind of obsolete, at least for most of the use cases. I think there are still very few that makes us still, you know, support it. But it's became very rare.
Okay.
So, yeah. Good.
Yeah, there was a lot of topics, right? I'm going through this list as well, but I guess we mentioned everything we want to mention.
yeah. So great. I mean, our new format, I think it, I have a good feeling about it. So yeah,
me too. We'll
continue with this next time with the same structure and adjust as needed. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. I think we need to improve our time boxing, but I guess on the next episodes we will do it better.
Maybe we will just say, okay, the goal is not 30 minutes, but it's 45 now, and then we are still in a good buffer.
we define a new target.
Yes, we exactly. Define it.
That's good.
Cool. Great. Sebastian, it was a pleasure. It was very nice having you. I wish you a very interesting and great trip. Hopefully it's not going to be too exhaustive,
but I guess thank you very much.
The travel is worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm as I said at the start, I'm very excited to be part of that. And yeah, cool. I will be report next time.
Yeah, it's nice. Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Then let's close for today.
Thank you, Adam.
Thanks a lot.
First show.
And talk soon again. Huh?
Absolutely.
All right. Take
All care. Right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
How mature is your organization when it comes to integration topics? Find out for free with our integration maturity assessment at wint.co/IMA. That's WHINT.co/IMA. In case you want to take control of your integration landscape to increase transparency and automate your integration quality processes, please schedule a call at wint.co/contact. If you enjoyed the content, please like and subscribe to our podcast. See you next time.